every human being lives only in two states. In this very moment, you're either in a state of suffering or a state of no suffering. The biggest decision is from which state you want to live and experience life.
Welcome to the Dr. Espen podcast, where we explore the latest in quantum science, personal development, consciousness and spirituality, health, as well as business and money mastery. Join me as I interview experts from all over the world sharing the most incredible stories of transformation. This is where we provide you with the exact tools and coaching activities you need to expand your consciousness in each of the eight areas of your life. For more info on our events, programs, coaching, etc., go to drespen.com for the full quantum experience. Hello and welcome to the Dr. Espen podcast. I'm Espen. Today I have the privilege of guiding you through a very special interview with none other than Sri Preetaji, all the way from India. Preetaji and Krishnaji are the founders of EKAM, E-K-A-M, which is a world center for enlightenment in India. They come from a spiritual lineage of mystics and enlightened sages and have an incredible gifted ability to uplift humanity's consciousness. They've been doing this for a very long time. I interviewed Sri Preetaji some years ago now, and we're back for a sequel. I'm so excited because what they're doing is so powerful and meaningful in helping to move humanity from division into oneness. And I think this oneness, unity, consciousness that we know is real and is the fundamental core of reality is actually something that I've been practicing and teaching for a very long time. Their quest is to help people move from chaos to peace from darkness. So I'm really grateful to have a phenomenal philanthropist, transformational leader, and spiritual leader, a sage, if you will, with us here today. So I want to say a special welcome, Preetaji. How are you today?
I'm very good, Dr. Espen. Namaste. So wonderful to be back with you on your podcast, to be with your audience.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege for us as well. Can you please just tell us quickly about EKAM and the work that you've been doing before we get into the other things that we want to discuss today? I'd like our audience and viewers to learn a little bit more about you and the amazing work that you've been doing for quite some time.
The vision of EKAM, EKAM means oneness. The vision is to help individuals to move away from suffering into experiencing very beautiful states in consciousness, leading them up to enlightenment. We believe that the world needs people who live in states free of suffering, who experience great peace in their consciousness, who experience great connection and oneness. We see that as being the solution to many problems that the world is seeing today. And we guide people on a step-by-step path leading them towards enlightenment. That is what we do from EKAM. We touch people all over the world. And our vision is not spirituality only for a limited few who are like renouncing the world. Our vision is to have engaged, enlightened beings. So what the world needs more and more today is engaged, enlightened leaders, political leaders, enlightened parents, enlightened teachers, enlightened entrepreneurs. We see when the world is flooded with enlightened people in different walks of life, then that'll be a huge impact on humanity's consciousness. And that is our vision.
What a vision and what a time to be doing this incredible work. It's such a phenomenal time, I think, for humans in general. And listening to this and feeling into what you're saying right now, I think each person could maybe ask ourselves the question, what does that mean for me to be enlightened? What does it mean for me to live from love and to live in a beautiful state? And having followed your work for some time, even being part of some of the amazing events that you've ran, you've talked a lot about living in a beautiful state and the opportunity to create from that state. Instead of living in fear, we can live in love. Instead of living in darkness, we can live in light. Can you tell us a little bit about what it means to live in a beautiful state and how a person can begin that journey, maybe even today?
The one overarching insight that would help anybody start off on this journey is the insight which Shri Krishnaji shares with the world. Shri Krishnaji says every human being lives only in two states. That is, throughout your life, you're either living in this state or that state. That is, in this very moment, you're either in a state of suffering or a state of no suffering. At this very moment, you're living in a state of stress or you are living in a beautiful state. And there is no third state. Mm-hmm. So the biggest decision is from which state you want to live and experience life. The more you are stressed, anxious, living in fear, living in anger or hate or sadness or guilt, the experience of life is so poor. We can tell the quality of life when you live in a suffering state is a poor quality of life. And when you learn to live in beautiful states, it could be a state of calm, joy, love, connection to begin with. I'm not talking about enlightened states, or I'm not even talking about the transcendental states that is possible for human beings. But even if you begin to live more and more of your life in a state of calm and peace, it would change the entire ecosystem of your life in terms of your relationship, in terms of the experience that you have with yourself, in terms of what you can create in the world around you, the leader that you can be. So much depends on the state you're living your life from. And the simplest starting point for this would be a practice that we teach people all over the world. It is called the Serene Mind Practice. So every time you move into a state of inner disturbance, it is important to bring attention to what state you're living your life. What is that state you're experiencing right now? So it kind of pushes your brain to a place of awareness, allowing you to bring attention to that which is arising so that that can dissolve and you can experience a beautiful calm.
For those who don't know, Preetaji and Krishnaji has been doing this work for a long time. I used to follow a lot of your work in the past, including something I think is interesting for me to share. When my son was in the womb, his mother would listen to the Soul Sync. And when he was born and I would walk him, we would play the Soul Sync, which is one of Preetaji's, I think, top meditations. And I have found this, I have used this many hundreds, if not over 1,000 times, and it's been so useful. So it's called the Soul Sync, if you want to look it up. And maybe you've got other ones. You're talking about the other practice that you just mentioned. Can you tell us a little bit about when we get this, when we understand that we are unity consciousness is real, that we are a unique expression of the whole, perhaps, and that there are only two states to the human experience, and perhaps we can set an intention to move away from a suffering state to a beautiful state. What role does something like meditation and mindfulness that you've mentioned play in that, and how would one start to do this from today, for example?
Absolutely, Dr. Espin, because when you have a vision, we call it a spiritual vision, because externally you do have a vision for what you want to achieve, what you want to succeed in life, how much you want to create. You have a lot of people have a lot of vision for the external. Here we are now talking about a vision for the inner world, which we call as a spiritual vision. A spiritual vision to live free of suffering, to live free of stress and anxiety, and to live in a beautiful state. And when you have the spiritual vision, as you said, what is the role of meditation? The role of meditation is to change the entire ecosystem of your inner world through observation, through breath, through breath pauses, to different kinds of breath, and definitely through a lot of observation and experiencing connection with the vaster consciousness. What is happening is one time little steps are being made in order to change that inner environment. If you say that right now you're prone to suffering, you're prone to living in anxiety, you're prone to living in fear, or prone to living in anger, you have to change that inner world. It doesn't happen by just making a decision. There has to be a practice that allows you to change what is there within. And that change happens when you start off with meditation. Mm-hmm. If you have to think of, you know, the impact that the meditation has on one's brain. The soul sync meditation has a very, very, very distinct direction for everybody who practices it. One is it changes, it pushes your body into a place of calm. So the agitation in your body becomes calm. It pushes your ability to create or bring awareness to every tiny little detail, because an aware mind is a free mind. So it trains you in awareness. It allows your mind to become peaceful. It allows your consciousness to expand. Something very special about the soul sync meditation is when you actually feel expanded, when you feel connected with a vaster universe, with a larger consciousness. And in that space, when you hold an intention, an intention that you want to see manifest in your life, it materializes or it manifests, because that state is so very essential for you to manifest what you want to manifest. It is just not positive thinking. It's just not strategy. It is just not skills. You need a greater power. The greater power of your own consciousness and your own consciousness feeling connected to the vaster universe. And in the soul sync is directed towards pushing you into that state of feeling expanded, that state of feeling being one with the unitary fabric of life. And in that space, when one holds the intention, it goes past the thought barrier and materializes. So it's very beautiful. People all over the world use the soul sync meditation to begin their day. Many of them use it to end their day. So it's an incredible practice for sure.
It's a very, very special practice. So if you guys want to look it up, you can look up Soul Sync. That's SoulSync, Soul Sync. I know that it's on YouTube. You can probably find it on some other websites as well. But definitely go and try that. I think you can purchase it. I'm not sure. Where would you say the best place to find the Soul Sync is, Sri Peter Aprichaji?
Soul Sync is available all over the internet. But I think the Breathing Room has, along with Soul Sync, it has many more meditations. So I would definitely highly, highly recommend. It's called the Breathing Room Meditation App. So it'll be beautiful for the audience to explore more as well.
Oh, I think you're going to love it. Okay, now I want to segue a little bit, because you just started talking about manifestation. And I think manifestation has been misled or misinterpreted or mistaught for quite some time. And I love the way you teach it, and specifically the way you talk about the three laws of manifestation. Please share with us, what are they and how do they work?
We call it the laws of consciousness, and it actually is a direct relationship between one state of being and what you actually create in your life. The first law is your state is a signal that you are sending out to this vast fabric of consciousness. If you are in suffering states, your state is inviting more chaos and more disorder into your life. If you are in beautiful states, your state is inviting greater order into your life. The simplest way to put this, I would say, is say you're acting from a place of fear, and your action is interacting with this vast fabric called life. And what happens is, what comes back to you out of this action is events, situations, or people in your life, which will push you back into fear. So it is when you are in fear, you really want to avoid those situations which doesn't lead you to fear. But the truth is, when you're acting from a state of suffering, whatever that state might be, it only brings more chaos, more disorder into your life. And the other way also is true. The more beautiful states you live in, greater order and greater harmony is what you bring to your life. And the second law is, the more one is in states of suffering, it could be fear or anger or sadness or depression or anxiety, whatever it is, any state in which you feel an inner friction, you're preoccupied with yourself. You're not connected with others. You're not connected with life. And the more preoccupied you are, greater the battles you fight in life. You fight with people in your life, you fight at work, you fight with government, You constantly are in a battle. That is the second. The third law is, in the realm of consciousness, we can think of, we are more like what happens in the subatomic world. In the subatomic world, many times effect precedes the cause. And in the realm of consciousness too, we can see our life that way. That is, you always believe that once you find your right soulmate, then you will experience great love. Or once you find your dream job, then you would experience great fulfillment. What we are trying to tell you is, the more you're experiencing love, the more you're capable of experiencing love, then you will find the right person into your life. The more you feel happy, joyful, fulfilled in life, then the dream job would come to you. It's just not the other way around. Always, this culture, the society has taught us that, you know, you achieve and then you become happy. You find this person and then you would experience love. It is not so. You move into a beautiful state, you experience great joy, love, connection, then you would see all those beautiful things manifest in your life. The Ching principle is how important one's state is in terms of not only the experience of life, that is when you are in a beautiful state, when you are joyful, when you are loving, it is incredible, beautiful experience of life itself, but just not that. It's just not limited to the experience, but it also interacts with the web of life, creating those experiences, actually determining those experiences, those situations, those opportunities, and those people whom you meet. Your state is incredibly powerful.
Yeah, I'd say that it's fundamental. It's at the core of everything because we create from that space, right? And you mentioned stress here. Today, for a lot of people, stress is a rat race. Success is a rat race. On and on and on it goes. How can we become abundant, financially free, and maybe even create products and services like you guys have, like we have, that influence and impact the world to make it a better place, while at the same time live in a stress-free, beautiful state? How do we find the balance?
Dr. Espin, where the world is moving today, the inner world is ignored until you come upon a crisis of, you know, you're having a depression or a panic attack, or you're moving into anxiety very quickly and you need really help from therapist. One pushes to that level in order to bring attention to one's inner world. And by that time, it's like, you know, it becomes very difficult. Not that it's not possible. Definitely, at any moment, you can try to change your inner world. But the focus has been on the external, especially this particular civilization that we are part of. And we don't even realize that so much of the external world is dependent on one's inner world. That's why Sri Krishna ji and I say, like, we need to have a vision for one's inner world. And we should start with our children. We should start in our families. The vision to, you know, live with this togetherness, live with this experience of connection. That should be the overarching vision for one's family. You should have a vision for your inner state to walk out of suffering as and when it arises, to bring attention to it, to dissolve it, rather than, you know, trying to cope with it or manage it or telling it's okay to kind of hurt oneself internally in order to achieve the external success. Because even after you achieve, you're not going to be happy. So it is important to nurture that joy, that happiness within. So when you do nurture joy and happiness within, you have an incredible intelligence that flows through you. Life is not a hard climb. You would attract people into your life who will help you and support you on your vision. You would meet me. You would experience those opportunities, those situations that will actually help you. It is like a vessel in the ocean. You're not fighting against the tide, against the winds, against the tide, but you'll have the support of the entire, all the wind and the tide pushing you towards the destination. That is the power of one state. The more you live in beautiful state to start with, that is, the vision doesn't end for us with a beautiful state. The vision actually is enlightenment of humanity. Enlightenment is free of all divisions, all separations. It's a state of oneness. But to start with, when you do live in a beautiful state, you would see the support of the universe come to you. And you become a beautiful vessel for the intelligence of the universe to flow through you to impact lives. So that is why the vision for one's inner world is so important.
Oh, I hope that you guys picked up what was just shared and maybe even go back and listen to this again. What Preacher G is sharing here is that you can become a vessel instead of driving it forth with willpower and grind and stress and living in the rat race. When you create by design a practice to live in a beautiful state, to meditate, to move, to breathe, to take care of yourself in whichever way is appropriate for you, you can become a vehicle and a vessel for creative intelligence, for this incredible consciousness to flow through you. And that is, of course, the greatest superpower that any person can obtain, as far as I'm concerned, because if we can live in a way where we can be one with that field, with that consciousness, there's nothing that we cannot achieve. I think this is indeed, as you're saying, Preacher G, turning it on its head, because we've been trained, taught, and conditioned to do things from what's on the outside. But now we're learning to turn the attention back within, because we are the creator of everything in our reality. I hope that this is serving you guys to the point where you can reflect upon your lives and ask the question, what can I do from today as a new standard, as a new practice, as a new way of living, to live in a beautiful state? On that note, let me ask you, we talk about the ultimate potential for a human. If we, and when we live in a beautiful state and we can increase energy, frequency, and vibration, live more in love than in fear, I mean, whichever way we might speak to it, what do you think is the ultimate potential for a human being?
The ultimate potential for a human being is to live in a state of oneness. To live free of all division, to live free of all separation, to live free of all suffering, to live in that space, not driven by fear, not driven by craving. An incredible, beautiful experience where you are in a flow with life. You know, a large part of scientists speak about how to live in stress, to live in fear, to live in anxiety is very normal to a human being. But it's just not limited to that, for sure. We have an incredible potential. Luckily for us, these ancient sages in India, they did not just stop with living between pleasure and pain, and did not talk about just meeting one's needs, but they actually spoke about incredible human potential that is possible, where you live in an awakened space, you live experiencing incredible love flooding your heart, or you live in a beautiful state of flow, or you experience great awakened states of stillness and silence, being a witness. Finally, one is capable of experiencing incredible oneness. So that is the ultimate potential, human potential. And not only that, I would say that is the ultimate purpose of being born a human being. To live only in that state, you live every moment completely and fully without being pushed and pulled into the past and future, truly alive to this very moment. And that is, that's definitely the ultimate potential. And from that state, you know, life is very effortless. Living is very effortless. Loving is very effortless. Joy is effortless. So it becomes a very beautiful life.
Wonderful. I love this. And this is so interesting too, because as I say, now science is starting to catch up on what spirituality has been teaching for thousands of years. You know, so many people look to science as the religion. Spent a lot of time studying science, 7 years at university and so on and so forth. And now I just realized that that's great to know. It's great to understand the unified field theory and look at quantum physics and realize that science does support this, and it's been supporting this for over 100 years, ever since Max Planck won the Nobel Prize for quantum theory over 100 years ago. And now we're talking about fundamental principles of spirituality backed by science that we cannot get around. Even if you look at the 12 universal laws, the number one law is the law of unity, divine oneness. And so this is exactly what we're talking about, so that we can step into that space. I love that you brought it to unity, to oneness, in terms of that's our ultimate potential. This is amazing. So why would you say that so many people in the world, governments, certain religions, people in their intimate relationships are still experiencing lack of cooperation, stress, or difficulties in their lives?
If you have to look at, I mean, there are many, many reasons the way we evolved and the way we have, I mean, how the way we had to survive on this planet, taking into consideration all the dangers the species had to face. There could be hundreds of reasons, but if you have to look at one simple reason as to why the families are breaking, as to why there's so much of war, so much of unrest in the world, if you have to look at one, you have to just take one thing and say, this is what it is. And I would say that thing is one suffering state. Whether you are in fear or anger or sadness or depression or anxiety or stress, the entire thinking is separation driven in that state of suffering. You could have a beautiful family, you could be with people, you could be with friends, but when you are in loneliness, they don't exist for you. When you are in anger, they really, it just doesn't mean anything to have them in your life. So a suffering state is that state in which you're constantly feeling separate from the other. And the more separate you are, more disorder comes to you and disorder flows through you. So if you want to make the world into a better place, then one must become free of suffering. If you want your family to be a beautiful place, one must become free of suffering. If you want the children to grow up in an environment where there is so much of love and connection, then you need to become free of suffering, because it's just not about having children in your life. It is like, it is you, it's not just about feeding them and taking them on vacations or giving them the right education. You nurture them through your state of consciousness to kind of free yourself from that separation and experiencing connection is what your child needs. It is what your family needs. It is what the community needs. It is what the world needs. And one villain for that is suffering.
So apart from meditating, choosing to live in a beautiful state, being one with our breath, choosing love over fear, etc., what are some tools that someone might be listening to this and they might be going, hang on, I'm in debt, I'm struggling, I can't pay my bills, or my kid just ran away from home and I can't get a hold of them, or, you know, something has happened. Apart from these powerful tools that we've discussed, how does one do that? I'm just thinking, if someone has not heard this message before, or if they've heard it before, but they're still not able to practice it or master it, how do we become free of suffering? How can we do that?
See, Dr. Spinett, it is like one has wired oneself to live in suffering, in stress or in anxiety or in fear. And you want to kind of get rid of that wiring in your brain, that wiring in your consciousness that is stifling you actually. The way to get out of it is when you have a powerful awakening in one's consciousness. When you have a glimpse of freedom, when you have a glimpse of liberation, it should not end there for sure. Because when you have a glimpse, what happens to you is you become a seeker, a true seeker of enlightenment, a true seeker of freedom, a true seeker to live in those states of consciousness. And it is possible. And the simplest definition of enlightenment is to live in a state of unperturbed calm, irrespective of life situations. Because life will keep throwing challenges one after the other. And to meet those challenges, you need to live in a state free of suffering, because your suffering state is only capable of making those challenges into more problems, more obstacles. It just has the ability to kind of create more problems for you. So to know that your suffering free state is that which is going to be helpful and conducive for you to create a beautiful life. One is vision. Two is get on a path, nurture your inner being step by step. It's not going to happen overnight. You have a clear vision. You have a clear path. We lead people through a 5-stage path where one becomes conscious, one experiences, or one becomes aware, one becomes transformed, where your heart comes alive. One moves into states of awakening where you go beyond the mind, experiencing in the realm of consciousness, and then you go towards enlightenment. It is a step-by-step process. Even if you start off with a soul sync meditation, please know you're doing something to your inner world. You're changing the inner wiring. You're changing, say, if you think of it as a garden, you're changing your inner garden, taking out all the weeds slowly, one after the other, and, you know, kind of replacing it with beautiful flowers that is going to bloom in some time. So it is a process. It's just not about making a decision. It is about bringing attention to your suffering as many times as possible so that you can dissolve it. Because if you're not bringing attention to suffering, it is just continuing to grow in your being, in your mind, in your brain. So that has to change. It is a process. You have a powerful awakening, the process becomes easier, but you need to have the wisdom that is needed in order to kind of keep you in that state. It is just not about having a high and coming down low. No, it you need to have the entire ecosystem to support you, to keep you in that space of oneness.
Excellent. Thank you. A five-step strategy there. And I love it. Again, coming back to the inside journey and the inside job first. I remember one of the first times when I heard about your work with Krishnaji, and I think it was Oneness University or One World Academy back then, something of that nature. And now you've, you know, here with Ekam and spreading the message. Yeah. I heard a story from Tony Robbins, actually, and he was talking about how his wife, Sage, had gone through some challenges for quite some time. They've sought solutions from all over the world and they couldn't find the solutions to aid in her healing. And then I believe Sage and Tony Robbins attended and were with you guys in India. And as Tony explains, it had a profound healing experience. So I wanted to ask, what are some of the people that you've had the privilege of working with throughout the world that might be able to inspire us average people that this stuff really does work and does change lives?
We have people from different walks of life, from different cultures, from different religions. During this entire journey, people experience incredible healing. People experience incredible healing of their hearts, of their body, of their mind. People also experience healing or change in their life itself. And their vision becomes very clear. They find incredible power and strength to face the challenges of life. I don't like taking names, but yes, people do. People come in between, you know, a space and time in their life when they've lost their vision, especially people who have achieved so much. Suddenly they have lost a vision and they really don't know what they're doing, why they're doing it. This journey is not only about living in that profound state of consciousness, but also the direction, the clarity, the light that it can give on life. They rediscover their purpose. They feel so connected to their family, and so much of miracles and healing and so much of joy they create in the life around them.
Very special. Thank you for sharing and completely understand. It's honorable that you don't share names. I just wanted to mention it because my point being some of the best, highest performing individuals in the world are doing this kind of work. And so if anyone's wondering, you know, is this for me? I can assure you that if you want to live in a beautiful state, achieve the things that you want to achieve, manifest the things you want to manifest, there's no way around these tools. The practice of consciousness and expanding ourselves into the unity field and living in a beautiful state is absolutely fundamental. I know you've got an event coming up. Now, this interview may not be out before that, but I want to mention it anyway and also give people even more resources as to where they can go, not just to the Soul Sync and to the Ekam website, but also maybe some other places to learn more about you. So I want to just mention you come into Sydney soon. I know you'll be running a four-day event called Field of Awakening or Freedom from the Prison of the Mind. It's 14 to 17 of March 2024. Will you tell us a little bit about the kind of work that you do in those events and where people can go to get more information about this, depending on whenever they're listening to this interview?
Absolutely. Field of Awakening is the four-day retreat that I lead people all over the world, and it travels in different, goes to different parts of the world. As the name mentioned, it is a field that we create in order to awaken people. And when we say awakening, it actually pushes you into an experience of stillness, silence, being a witness, experiencing God, God consciousness. It is an opening up the doors into the realm of vastness, into the space of feeling expanded. And as that being said, it has a direct impact on one's body. The 30 trillion cells of one's body moves into a place of great connection and healing. The 40,000 neurons of your heart move into a space of powerful connection that is possible. Your chakras or the energy vortex is just not limited to your energy body. It constantly interacts with the world. It creates a field. So through the field of the power of your energy vortices, you are interacting with life and creating a healing space for your life. When I say healing of the spine or healing of your life, say you're constantly struggling with a particular obstacle or a challenge, and you've tried all that you can in terms of trying to disentangle yourself from that or trying to find a solution from that, and you've been kind of not being able to do that. You will see this interaction of this powerful awakening of the energy vortices in interacting with the field and creating those events, those people, those situations that will help you find a break in life. So it is to move away from just feeling that you are just this one person into the field where you experience a beautiful interaction between you and life and support your entire life through this awakening.
Mm. It's one of those mic drop moments. Awesome. I know that yourself and Sri Krishnaji have also written a book. It's a bestseller. It came out in 2019, I believe. It's called The Four Sacred Secrets. So something to consider as well for people who haven't read that book.
Absolutely. It's not a quick read. If anybody's taking a book, trying to just go through a quick read, it's not for a quick read. It's not a book for knowledge. I would say it's a journey. We intended and we wrote the book creating a journey for every person who picks it. So I would always recommend it to be read slowly, reflect on those insights, look at your life in the light of those insights, do the practices. It has a couple of meditations. It's very slow. I would say do it over a period of 49 days. It's like a mandala. Mandala is the time that it takes for the seed to sprout when you plant it in the soil. So use this book as your start, if you want to call it the starting point for your spiritual journey. Use this book and it would be a journey for you.
Like life. The book is called The Four Sacred Secrets. Instagram, website, etc. If you guys want to look it up, both Sri Pritaji and Sri Krishnaji, you can find them at PK, as in PK consciousness, in one word, PK consciousness. Go and look it up and follow their stuff. It's great to have their messages, their wisdom, their beauty, their love, and their states infused into our everyday reality. I've got a few more questions before we segue. You mentioned the chakras before, and I know for me as a primary healthcare physician in the beginning, looking at these so-called chakras or energy centers, my intellectual mind was a bit like, okay, yeah, I know there's something about these chakras, and you know, we talk about them, and you know, the lineage of yoga and other things, of course, out of India. And it's, we kind of get that it's a thing, okay? And I'm kind of generalizing, but I really feel from my own work and having helped a lot of people now, we have as a species significantly underrated the importance of the energy centers and how energy flows through these energy centers and interacts with our everyday reality and maybe with our consciousness. Can you give us your 2 cents worth on the energy centers or the chakras, the importance of them, and how you think we could actually start to use the tools that we've been given by our creator? What are your thoughts?
To believe that we are this physical body and nothing more than that is an illusion. It's ignorance. We are many layers. I'm sure you'd have seen the Russian dolls, like one inside the other. The smallest of the doll is this physical body. So beyond this physical body is the energy body. In the energy body are the 72,000 nerve currents, and it carries the energy. And there are places in this energy body where these clusters of nerve currents flow. And those are the chakras, energy vortex. And there are many chakras. Actually, we didn't mention it earlier, but there is a three process that I lead people all over the world. It is an online process that happens on the second Sunday of every month. And this year, the focus of that process, it's called Manifest. The focus of that process is to awaken to the incredible chakra potential. We hear a lot of things, you know, from the Heart Math Institute and how powerful the heart is and how you're interacting with life. This Manifest series does is awaken the potential of 12 different chakras. It's just not the heart. And show how each of these chakra is interacting with life. This month Manifest, which is going to happen, again, I don't think it'll be released before it. It's where you awaken to the chakra power of the Manipura, where you awaken to an incredible sense of power within you, a calm, a courage that will flow from you into the world. So it is like many, the next month is going to be Surya Chakra. So it's each of these chakras that are going to kind of be awakened, activated through the ancient breathing practices, along with visualization, and also to see what is the imbalance that is there in the chakra, respective, taking into consideration your own life, your own experience, and to activate that chakra. To first is to recognize, and then just to activate and clear it of its imbalance, so that that chakra potential is awakened in you and you interact. The field is interacting, the chakra field is interacting with life. So it's just not the heart chakra we're focused on. We're talking about 12 different chakras for each of the month. So anybody can join at any time.
Very special. Where do we find this information if we want to join that?
It's called the Manifest series. It is there in AGAM. I can ask, we can put you the live link where people can just register. Yes.
Absolutely. So we have PK Consciousness on all the social media platforms. So PK Consciousness in one word. And the website is www.ekam.org. Okay. And lots of amazing information there as well. I've got one last question for you, Sri Preetaji, if I may, straight off the cuff. Are you ready? Okay. It goes like this. I want you to imagine that you are on the world stage. Every sentient being alive today is present and open and listening to your message. When you're ready, take your time and share with us, please. What is your message to the world right now?
If each and every one of us can live in a state free of suffering, can awaken to experience of oneness, this world that we are living in will be a very beautiful place for us. Will be an incredibly beautiful place for the future generations. And it is time that each and every one of us awaken to this truth of oneness.
Absolutely. I think the word namaste is appropriate. Thank you very much. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a privilege. It's been some years since we've chatted last time, but thank you for taking the time again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you feel like this has served you, please go and share this with as many people as you can. Please listen to it again. Maybe pause it, write down the five steps that Preetaji was talking about, and look at your own life and ask, how can I put practices in place and beliefs in place and meditations in place so that I can continue to live in a beautiful state and live in oneness. Thank you once again so much for your time and for being with us and sharing your message today.
Beautiful to be on your platform, Dr. Ispik. So wonderful. So nice to meet you again.
Absolutely. Once again, thank you so much for listening. And if you want to learn more about how to walk the quantum path into life mastery, business mastery, if you want to learn more about our live events or coaching or anything that we offer, go to www.ekam.org. dresp.com. That's dresp.com, or email info@dresp.com. And let's find out how we can help you take your life, your business, and your mission to a whole nother level. We'll see you next time.